And that was the tune from Depths of Old, I Cry to Thee. And that's what we're going to be talking about on this last day in January. Right, Pastor Mark Smith?
Right. You don't sound like you're...
No. Pastor Mark Smith, the last day in January?
No, February.
Boy.
February.
Where have you been?
I don't... Not in the depths of woe.
Well, and you certainly don't have your ears on.
You're right. I got to get my phones on, don't I?
Yes.
I can hear you. That's the main thing, right?
Yes, you can
hear me. Oh, great one.
Oh, here we go again. From Depths of Woe, I Cry to Thee, written by Martin Luther.
Martin Luther and Catherine Winkworth.
Yes.
Our good friend, the translator.
I like her translations.
She's very good.
Now, normally we would be doing the hymn for the first Sunday in Lent, which is?
A Mighty Fortress.
But we've done that a whole number of times.
Yes.
And so it was suggested by my wife. She says, well, here's the Ash Wednesday one, which is occurring tomorrow night, right?
That's right.
From Depths of Woe, I Cry to Thee. You have Ash Wednesday services and Lenten services, don't you?
Right, exactly.
Wednesdays.
Wednesday services, you're right.
Is that it?
7 p.m.
Oh, 7 p.m. We also do at Trinity Orchard Farm with a meal ahead of time.
We do the same thing. We have a soup supper.
Soup supper.
Yes, delicious soups.
Yeah, I think this Wednesday we're having cheeseburgers, french fries, milkshakes, steak. I don't know.
You're not foregoing anything for Lent, are you?
Oh, yes. I give up giving up. That's a big thing I've done.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, do you give something up?
You know, I used to give up the three C's. Cookies, chips, and candy.
Oh.
But I'm not very good at that.
No.
Chocolate. I mean, you know, it's tough. I've tried to give up chocolate alone during Lent. But
really?
I'm not very good at it.
No, fasting, yeah.
It's not a
Some people can do it, that's fine. The purpose of fasting...
It's not a strength we Lutherans have, is
no,
it?
No. Do you apply ashes?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No.
I never have either, but at Trinity Orchard Farm, they do.
Do they?
So this will be the first time.
Oh, uh-huh. So you're going to do it? You're going to actually apply it yourself. I think it's fine.
Yes. Yeah, but I took out that Bible verse that says, do not disfigure your face. I didn't think that. That's an Ash Wednesday Bible verse.
Yeah, that's right. You're right, it is.
But of course, as I was explaining to my wife this morning... That meant that as a hypocrite.
Right.
You know, so you look good to others, whereas we do it in service to Christ, so it's appropriate because our motivation is different. Our reason for doing it is different. So, but it's the first time I've ever...
So you do you know how to do it?
No, I don't.
I don't either. I wouldn't know, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, well, one of the gentlemen is going to help me. I have an elder, because sometimes you have a large crowd, and then we do it during the service, and they come down in twos. But I had put up two fingers, second and third, to put it on. He said, no, you do it with your thumb.
Do it with your thumb.
Yeah. Huh. And so
you make the sign of the cross, don't you?
That's right. Sign of the cross. And we're going to say ashes to ashes.
Uh-huh.
You know, so be the first time we've ever done that. And I always like doing whatever the church I'm serving at or doing a sermon at. They say, what are you going to do differently? I say, nothing. Whatever you're used to.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, it's important to discuss things like that with the congregation. I haven't made hardly any changes there in the 6 months from Pastor Gaunt. But the only thing is the way we do communion. We changed that about, but no, worship services still are very, very traditional, and yours are also.
Oh, yes.
Yep. So you're going to be singing this hymn for Ash Wednesday?
You know, I don't know how the melody goes. Do you know how it goes?
Yes. All right. If you would read the first stanza.
Okay. It is a good hymn for Ash Wednesday.
Well, it's got to be. It's by Martin Luther.
Yes, of course. From depths of woe I cry to thee, in trial and tribulation. Bend down thy gracious ear to me, Lord, hear my supplication. If thou rememberest every sin, who then could heaven ever win or stand before thy presence?
Okay, we're getting into Lent, where we talk about Jesus at the cross. So, from depths of woe I cry to thee, who is the I?
Myself.
Yes, it's not Jesus.
No.
And this is great law, because before you get to the gospel, we need to confess that we're in depths of woe.
That's right.
Yes.
The law has brought us to our knees.
Exactly.
We're like that publican in the temple. God, be merciful to me, a poor, miserable sinner.
Yes, when I meet in counseling with individuals who really feel that they may not be being saved because they either can't get rid of a sin or because they can't do a good work they're supposed to, I look for one thing to see whether there is repentance. And what am I looking for? How can you tell somebody is repentant?
Well, you can't. You can't look at their heart.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, okay. All right.
Talking about their confession you look at. And then you are correct.
You have to take them at their word.
That's right. But what is the word that I'm looking for? It's the beginning of the meaning of every commandment. We should...
Fear and love God.
Yes. No, fear. If they have fear of God, they're repentant. That was Pastor Mark Smith coughing. Hope you didn't pick up what Mr. Bates has.
No, I don't think so.
No. Yes, he's doing better. And so if somebody's in deep woe and they can't get out of it, but there's that fear of God because they know that... If somebody comes to me and says, I don't think I'm going to heaven because I do this or I'm unable to do that, that's really how I understand repentance, that you have a fear of God and you don't think you're worthy to get to heaven. If somebody thinks they're worthy to get to heaven, then they don't have repentance. So, this person, from depths of woe I cry to thee, in trial and tribulation. Now, those are two different things. Trial would be temptations. Tribulation would be sufferings. Bend down thy gracious ear to me. Lord, hear my supplication. Notice, it's not bend down thy just ear to me.
But he does talk, you know, there's an interesting line in here where it does. We'll get to it later.
Oh, well, all right.
I'll point it out to you.
We're still on stanza one.
Right.
If thou rememberest every sin. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people get messed up with that because they think remember has something to do with the memory. When in reality, if God remembers your sins, then you get punished for them. If he forgets your sins, you don't get punished. And so we're asking God no longer to remember our sins, which, of course, is both in Jeremiah and Hebrews. Remember the new covenant?
I will remember your sins no more.
Yeah, and I will forgive your iniquities. So if God remembers sins, who could heaven ever win or stand before thy presence? So, stanza two. Thy love and grace alone avail to blot out my transgression. The best and holiest deeds must fail to break sin's dread oppression. Before thee none can boasting stand, but all must fear thy strict demand. There's the word fear.
That's right.
And live alone by mercy. Now, they've got 1, 2, 3, 4 Bible verses at the bottom that these thoughts are taken from. But actually, there's probably about 30 verses.
Right.
The way Luther. You know, this is Luther speaking about himself, where he says specifically that the best and holiest deeds must fail.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Why do they fail? Because our old Adam motivation is always wrong. When our new man does
that's
something.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's no way we can appease God.
And before thee none can boasting stand. That's actually right from the Bible also, that we're not to boast of our works, but all must fear thy strict demand. See, that's the purpose of the law, to get people to fear God. And a lot of people, I know when I was in confirmation, I was told fear means to, you know, God-fearing, to honor, respect. Doesn't mean to be afraid of. No, it does mean
to be afraid. It does mean afraid.
Yes. Because God has the power to send us to hell. And if you're going to heaven or hell on the basis of your works, you really fear God. You're afraid. And so that's why every commandment we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things.
Above all things.
Stanza 3.
Okay, now here is, you'll
read it first and then.
Okay, let me show you. Therefore, my hope is in the Lord and not in mine own merit. It rests upon his faithful word to them of contrite spirit, that he is merciful and just. This is my comfort and my trust. His help I wait with patience. Why is that my comfort and my trust, that he is merciful and just? I would think that, we don't want God to be just with us because we know what we would deserve. What do you say?
I say that if the word merciful wasn't in front of it.
Yeah.
See, this is a different justice.
Oh, it is.
Well, what is the regular justice? You get what you
get
deserve.
You get what you deserve, right.
But merciful justice means you
we get what we don't deserve.
No, that's grace. You never get those straight, do you?
I never get them straight.
Boy,
no.
I tell you. You should go to the seminary.
Well, go ahead.
Yes. Merciful justice means you don't get what you deserve. Now, there's two ways in which God is just. In every other religion in the world, he's just in that he gives you what you deserve. But God is just because he just didn't pick out of thin air that your sins are forgiven.
His justice is based on the work of his son.
Excellent.
Okay.
Yes. So that's how you always have to allow scripture interpret scripture. The same word can have 10 different meanings. Like the word law does have 10 different meanings. You can mean the Ten Commandments, the moral law, the civil law, the ceremonial law. You got to look at the context for all these meanings. So if he says, if he had written that he is just, this is my comfort, then we wouldn't have a problem. But that he is mercifully just means that he has a reason in the arena of justice, why he's able to look at you and have your sins forgiven, which means they're paid for, not because you paid for them, but
Christ.
That's right.
That's why Nathan could say to David, after David confessed his sin
with Bathsheba, God Nathan hath, the prophet,
God hath put away your sin, you shall not die.
Yes.
He was saying that on the basis of what would take place 1,000 years later in Jesus Christ.
Yes, and it was also on the basis that David trust in Jesus?
Yes.
Psalm 23.
Right.
The Lord is...
the Lord is my shepherd. Yes, the Lord is my shepherd. Of course.
Yeah, well, of course.
It's a little bit early yet.
Yes, a little bit early. Yeah. Pastor Smith doesn't start working till 1, and then he goes home at 3. Okay.
Oh, boy, Tom.
No, I tell you, I got home last night, what was it, almost 11.
Ooh.
Yeah, we had a great day yesterday. Yeah, we started off with, of course, the radio program, and then had some office work. We had to put the Ash Wednesday and the Lenten Ones bulletin together.
Right, sure.
And then I had youth confirmation. Then I had some phone calls to make, and then adult instruction, great adult instruction. And then the board meetings. I always enjoy board meetings.
You like board meetings?
Oh, yeah. That's why Krusky and I got along so well.
He didn't like them.
He hated them.
Yes.
He was much more of a pastor than I was in dealing relationship-wise.
A control freak, right?
No, I wouldn't say that about him at all. That's a terrible thing to say about your good friend. And so what was the one meeting? Oh, yeah, Board of Education and then the Board of Elders. So we were having a lot of fun. Then got home and lasagna was ready.
Oh, lasagna?
Yeah.
At 11 o'clock at night?
Trader's. I always eat at night. Oh, yeah.
And it's a little late to eat lasagna.
No. No. I always eat at night. I never eat breakfast. Rarely. And maybe for a lunch, I'll have a peanut butter sandwich or something. Then the next time I eat is night. Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, around Trinity Orchard Farm, there aren't too many restaurants.
No.
You got to drive ways, you know, or just go into the cornfield and pick some corn. But since I don't go moo, it's the wrong corn. All righty. Well, how do we get on this? Stanza four.
And though it tarry through the night and till the morning waken, my heart shall never doubt his might, nor count itself forsaken. O Israel, trust in God your Lord, born of the Spirit and the Word. Now wait for his appearing.
All right, first question, if you're talking to your child about this, and though it tarry through the night. When's the last time you used the word tarry?
Yeah, we don't use that word very much.
No, but what does it mean then?
It means to delay.
Very good. And though it delay through the night, until the morning waken, my heart shall never doubt his might. Well, what's that word might from?
Well, his might is what is tarrying. His omnipotence, his control, his power.
The way we say it in the creed, answer, I believe in God the Father.
Almighty.
And I just had a lot of fun with the confirmants on that one. Asking them, what does Almighty mean?
Yes.
And everybody says...
He can do anything.
Yeah, he can do anything.
No. He can do what he wants to do. That's the difference.
Exactly. Well, I have even a different... the fact that he can't do anything means, for example, he can't send a Christian to hell.
Oh, I see. You're saying he does whatever... Well...
He binds himself with his promises.
Binds himself to his promises.
Right.
Yes.
But Almighty doesn't mean that. What it means is you divide the two words. It's from all might. And this is, by the way, from Luther, Bondage of the Will with Erasmus, that he was trying to show Erasmus that God has all might. There is no other power in the universe. Evil has no power at all. It always has to go to God for permission, like Job.
Right.
You know,
right.
Satan went to God.
That's true.
And so it was such a simple point. If God has all might, Erasmus, and you have faith, where'd you get it from?
God.
God. So don't give me this song and dance that you made the decision.
Uh-huh.
It was brilliant.
Doesn't come within us.
No.
It comes from outside of us.
Yes. That's why all the blessings we have is from the might of God, because there is no other power except God's power.
And everything we are able to do is because of him.
Yes. Yeah, in one of the adult instructions yesterday I did, we were talking about how the world came about, and I talked about creation versus evolution. And I was pointing out how creationism is more scientific than is evolution. I was listening to the Discover Channel, and they were talking about millions of years, and the dinosaurs got hit by a comet and all this kind of nonsense. And where they're having a little problem now is when they find fossilized remains of dinosaurs with humans.
Yes.
Because they're supposed to be...
In the same strata.
Yeah. So, I mean, evolution is just a joke. That's why I often refer to it as evolution. But you got to be careful. Because there is a kind of evolution that occurs.
Microevolution.
Very good.
And but not macroevolution.
Not macro, where you go from one species to another. Yeah. All right. Would you be so kind to read the last stanza five?
Though great our sins, yet greater still is God's abundant favor. His hand of mercy never will abandon us nor waver. Our shepherd good and true is he, who will at last his Israel free from all their sin and sorrow.
So people are going to ask, so only Israel is saved, just the Jews?
No, it's like you said, Israel has many different meanings too.
Very good. And what's the meaning here?
The church.
Very good. Yes. Where there is now no distinction between male or female, Greek or Jew, slave or free.
Right. All who believe in Jesus Christ.
Yes, right. They're free from their sin. which is really important, means that now when we do good works, we're free to do them. Whereas in every other religion, they're not free to do them. They are compelled to do them.
Yeah, good point. Yes.
Yes. So the idea of freedom means that we're no longer forced to do good works. We can do it of our own free will. And the motivation, therefore, isn't, how can I get to heaven?
The law, right.
Very good. It's the gospel.
It's the gospel, the
good
news.
You, Jesus, for all you've done. And therefore, that freedom to do good is really a part of Christianity that's not part of any other religion in the world. Yeah, yesterday I was taking a look at the epistle reading for the first Sunday in Lent, because it really shows the uniqueness of the Christian faith in the sense that it's God himself who saves us totally without any contribution on our part at all. You don't find that in any other religion.
No.
No, not at all. What are you preaching on Lent? It's the temptations of Jesus?
No, we're doing, as I said last week, we're doing sermons preached by Jesus' enemies.
Oh, you're talking about Wednesday Lent.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing the words from the cross.
Uh-huh, right. What are you doing this Sunday? Do you know yet?
Yes, but I don't want to tell you, because then everybody at Trinity is going to know and will know the answer.
Okay. I'm not sure what I'm going to preach this Sunday. I'm worried.
Well, you've got the Adam and Eve falling into sin.
Uh-huh.
You got the temptations of Jesus.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty typical for first Sunday in Lent.
In fact, in our hymnal, the very first hymn for Lent talks about the temptations. So we're singing that. And then let's see. Yeah, tomorrow night we got the choir singing. And I think
they're pretty pretty good choir there.
Oh my, yeah, yeah.
I found that, you know, country congregations have good choirs.
Really?
Yeah, that's kind of what I found.
Well, you were in a country congregation.
I was in a country congregation that had a beautiful choir.
Yes, yes. No, and then last Sunday, we not only had the choir singing a baptism, but in the late service, we had the choir from Lutheran High in St. Charles.
Oh, wow.
And they were just tremendous.
Great.
Yes, we were very pleased with them. And I said during the announcements afterwards that we're going to be making arrangements so that they come every other Sunday.
That'd be great.
You know, they come once
a
year.
Well, you must have had a full service. Must have been packed.
The morning was service because many relatives with the baptism. And then the late service, some of the choir members had been brought by their parents, and so they were in church also.
Sure.
So we almost ran out of individual
leaflets.
Classes.
I bet.
Yeah, yeah. So it was just really...
Well, good.
Yeah, yeah. And this next Sunday, we'll be down to 20 people. No. No, that's a great church, you know, like yours and the one I had before, St. James.
Pastor Doug Gunt.
Oh, he was tremendous.
Really trained them over the years.
Well, I wouldn't say train them. The Holy Spirit trained them.
Exactly.
But Doug Gunt was really faithful to the Word of God.
Yes.
And that's why anytime they do something, they'll say, well, what are you going to do for Lent? I said, what did Pastor Gunt do? That's what we're going to do. And that's why we're doing the ashes tomorrow night. The ushers, they have various groups that do the meal ahead of time. And tomorrow night is the ushers, and we're having roast beef.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they always had pretty good meals. Sometimes you get fried chicken. And then we're also setting up, we asked one of the six nights to be just a family kind of thing. And we've got some great homeschooling families, and they're going to put together something. So we're looking forward to that. All right. Next Tuesday?
You bet.
All right. God
willing.
Have
a blessed Lent.
Yeah, blessings on you also. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about, on Transfiguration Sunday, we did not just talk about Jesus. Somebody else was transfigured. Tune in tomorrow to hear about it. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.